Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and thanks for tuning in today. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And we're so grateful for all of you who've been with us over the past 3 years of the Buyer's Desk.
And a big welcome to those of you who just joined us this year as we shifted to shorter weekly episodes.
So today, we're digging into the archives to bring back some of our favorite conversations served up in that shorter format.
Thanks for listening, and keep tuning in each week for more stories and maybe even a few sneak peeks at season 4 coming in January 2026.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome Taro Isokopoula, the founder and CEO of Four Sigmatic, to the Buyer's Desk. It's great to have you and have this opportunity to chat with you today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on. Excited to chat.
Me too. Let's just dive right into it. Even though it feels like mushrooms were going to be the next big thing in the natural food space for like the last 20 years, they really weren't on most people's radar. Personally, I feel like it's a cultural thing, but I'd love to understand what your take is and how did you first become interested in mushrooms?
Yeah, mushrooms are a huge thing in a lot of parts of the world, just not in the Anglo-Saxon culture, and nobody knows for sure why. There's theories about molds, that kinds of fungi, or there's about like witch hunts and this and that. But they're huge in the Slavic culture. They're huge in a lot of the Latin American cultures. They're massive in Asia. And they're also massive where I'm originally from. So I am from Finland, and Northern Europeans and Nordics and Scandinavians have been very mushroom friendly. And same with me. I grew up on a farm that we've had with our family at least since 1619. And so me and my brother are 13th generation now managing the farm today. And there's a lot of mushroom legacy there. So I learned about mushrooms from my mom, who taught physiology and anatomy when I was like a little small kid. And that got me on the journey. I never imagined I would be working with mushrooms. I feel like the mushrooms chose me. I did not choose the mushrooms myself.
That's fascinating. I oftentimes think things choose you rather than you choose them. So I can really appreciate that. We talk a little about experiential delivery methods, things like drink mixes, teas, gummies, and chocolate as exciting additions to the wellness department. These formats have become a routine or a treat for a lot of users and is much more enjoyable than just gulping down a handful of pills. I'm curious, how did Four Sigmatic develop the concept of mushroom coffee and cocoa?
Yeah. So when we started working with mushrooms, it was 10, 15 years ago, and there really wasn't a mushroom category. Like if you would ask SPINS even 7, 8 years ago, they couldn't tell me what the size of the mushroom market was. And there were some brands, they were mostly selling capsules, and mostly for immunity. That's pretty much it. The problem there was that everybody's already consuming too many capsules. Like nobody really has a capsule routine. And I also felt always that it was disservice to the mushrooms not to taste their effects. The problem is that if you use real mushrooms, which was also rare, there was a recent study published in the very credible Nature journal that 74% of reishi supplements sold in the US don't contain any actual reishi mushrooms, which is a topic for another day. But when you use real mushrooms in their bioavailable extracted form, they're very bitter. These mushrooms that we talk about, these functional mushrooms, mostly grow on trees and they taste very bitter or earthy, and that's where the health benefits come from. The problem was when we started Four Sigmatic, we were trying to imagine like, hey, how could we bring mushrooms to the world? And besides education and hard work, we knew we needed a new angle to get more people excited about it. And the flavor was a big issue. So back then, we just reverse engineered it in a true Nordic engineer fashion. It was like, what else is bitter and people like? And the answer is two. Pretty much the only bitters popular in the Western culture are coffee and dark chocolate. And not loved by everyone, but by most people. And And they were great ways for us to hide the powerful yet bitter tasting functional mushrooms in. That's how mushroom coffee was born. And today it's a multi-hundred-million-dollar business around the world. And I just, the last time I checked in the natural channel, 25% of the coffee category growth is derived by mushroom coffee, which is pretty wild. But it all started by us trying to figure out how do we bring these healing powers of mushrooms to more people. And flavor was like a huge barrier of entry.
That's awesome. Shifting gears a little bit, you're an author. And in your book called Santa Sold Shrooms, you discuss Sami customs that align quite closely with those that we tend to think of over Christmas traditions. Can you give some examples of these parallels? And could you also give us a little bit more of a macro perspective on the cultural roles mushrooms play across the world?
Yeah, this is a great question. I don't get asked this a lot. I've written books like Healing Mushrooms and Healing Adaptogens, and people always ask me about those. But I've also written a more of a passion art project called Santa Sold Shrooms, which is a children's book about the origins of Santa Claus. The fact is, mushrooms or fungi have been part of our culture for a long time, in the good, bad, and the ugly. We see them in like Super Mario, or we see it in like Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit, and they're actually everywhere. When you start to look at like Disney cartoons, like the original Disney animations, you're like, the mushrooms are everywhere. Alice in Wonderland, whatever. But nobody is as famous as Santa Claus. Santa Claus is arguably the most famous character around the world. It's beyond cultures and countries and languages. Santa Claus is a big thing. And we kind of know that it's obviously Santa Claus is not a Coca-Cola soda Santa, right? And we think like St. Nicholas, a lot of people think that way. They think of Germany. But weirdly, St. Nicholas was not German. He was a Turkish bishop, but there's no reindeers or Christmas trees. That's a spruce tree in the pine family. They're not in Turkey. And once you start digging deeper and deeper into this role, it dates back to this indigenous culture called Sami that are in Norway, Sweden, Finland, and parts of Russia. They're the last indigenous culture left in Europe. And they've had their hardships over the years, like many other indigenous cultures, but they're still alive and well. And they are semi-nomadic reindeer herders. And that's the story really goes back to then. And then once you go back in the history, you realize that all our Christmas traditions are somehow dated back to that. For example, the red balls of the Christmas trees used to be red mushrooms called Amanita muscaria, which is like the red mushroom with the white dots, same as in Super Mario's and whatnot. And that they were dried on the branches of the Christmas tree. Therefore, the balls are there and they were presented as a gift under the tree of life. And there's a bunch of other, from the chimney to the Santa Claus or reindeers flying. There's a lot of interesting stories. And I thought to play homage to that real story that very few people know, I wanted to create a children's book for adults called Santa Sold Shrooms. And it tells a story about grandma telling the story to their granddaughter.
That's beautiful. I actually feel like more adults should read children's books because they deliver a lot of important messages that we all need to take.
I agree. I have two kids and I'm also learning a lot of truck names because I have two boys. So I didn't know there was so many different kinds of construction machines that I'm learning now from my kids' books. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. There have been numerous contributors to the growing awareness of the power of mushrooms, whether for healing, spiritual connectedness, or even environmentally friendly building materials. And I kind of geeked out on this story a few years back. This college student, her name's Katie Ayers, she made the news with this creation of a canoe. She called it a My Canoe. It was made out entirely of mycelium. And she was trying to build awareness of the power of mushrooms and how they could help climate change and combating it. I'd like to know if you have any personal heroes in the mycological space.
Yeah, there's amazing things happening right now. I feel like mushrooms or fungi have never been this interesting. It used to be just weirdos in the corner that I thought were always the more exciting and interesting weirdos. So I like to hang out with them. But yeah, there's a lot more interest around it and a lot of innovation, like from surfboards to packaging materials. The three areas where I think true change is actually happening, because some of it is education, like what she was doing is raising awareness. to a cause. But number one is health. That's what Four Sigmatic is around, focused on, these kind of functional healthy mushrooms. There's a whole world of pharmaceuticals that I don't really understand, but particularly around the psilocybin mushroom. There is a UK public company called Compass Pathways who's trying to get a federally legally approved kind of pharmaceutical for various ailments using psilocybin, and a bunch of others too. But there's a whole drug world that I don't get. And then there's mycoremediation, which I think is really exciting, and I love studying it deeply. That means kind of using fungi to remove various contaminants that could be anywhere from diesel to plastic from the soil using the enzymes that the fungi secrete. And my favorite people are in the mycoremediation field. You've never heard of them, and nobody really has, because these are the people who, like me, who are yapping around and talking about mushrooms are not the ones every day in the lab working on a species. Those are the true heroes, right? Getting the progress made. So a lot of the people I look up to are people who are not on social media or not very active on social media, but instead they're somewhere in a lab grinding. And a lot of them are also outside the US, to be honest.
Well, that micro remediation sounds fascinating, because that seems like it could be an answer to some of the issues that we're facing, right? Whether it's the microplastics or some of these forever chemicals, having a natural consumer of that in certain fungus would be an amazing thing.
Yeah, especially because these are living organisms that can grow and expand. And the problem, like let's take plastics and microplastics as one, is so huge now that there isn't really like a sniper rifle that can solve anything, or even a shotgun. We need like something that expands. And what's cool is that it's a natural food, quote unquote food, for these certain fungi. So that's very exciting to me.
Finally, there's a lot of great reading out there regarding mushrooms. Most recently, I discovered Christopher Hobbs' Medicinal Mushrooms, The Essential Guide. On a side note, I'm a subscriber to the Stoned Ape Theory. For those of you out there who don't know what that is, I suggest you Google it. I'd love to hear your take on that theory, and I would love to know if you have any suggested reading for the listeners out there.
Yeah, there's increasingly amazing books and podcasts that you can listen to on fungi and mushrooms. I really like the Mushroom Revival podcast. That's more for like mushroom science, this and that, right? And then I think I mentioned I've written a couple books. So if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or whatever small independent bookstore, you can see my books on like healing mushrooms and healing adaptogens. But if you want to explore the kind of the theories and the non-confirmed things like Stone Ape Theory. So Stone Ape Theory, if you're not familiar, is a concept kind of brought to us by Terence McKenna about 30-something years ago, a little over, in his book, Food of the Gods. And it kind of explores that maybe particularly magic mushrooms had played a role in evolutionary purpose. And I do think there's some truth to it. I think it's maybe not as black and white and linear as that. I think evolution is quite complex. It's like a symphony instead of a single instrument. I actually have an even wilder theory that I subscribe to. It is a little bit longer, but it involves panspermia. So fungi, particularly the seeds, quote unquote, seeds of the fungi, the spores can survive in every level of the atmosphere, so including in space, can do space travel. So I believe in panspermia. If you're interested in that, I was interviewed for an interesting YouTube show. If you go to YouTube and search American Alchemy and Are Mushrooms Aliens, it's a bold title, but it talks about maybe some of these spores came from another world to here. And at the end of the day, we're all made out of the same compounds here anyway, that are like, we're all stardust from a particle physics point of view anyway. So it's actually quite hard science what my theory is based on, but on the first glance, it's really kind of wild. It's like, are these like mushrooms aliens that came from another world? And that's obviously like a lot to chew on. So I recommend watching that YouTube show if you're interested in the topic. But yeah, I believe in parts of the Stone Ape Theory, not as like a single truth, but partial truth. And I do believe that there's more to this, and particularly that the space and other planets might have been part of evolutionary origins of fungi, because the fungi has probably been here a lot longer than we have. a couple billion years. We don't really know for sure, but we see fossils that date back many hundreds of millions of years before any emergence of plants. And we do share some of the same DNA with fungi. So it is very fascinating.
Well, I'm definitely going to be adding that to my watch list tonight. I'd like to thank you for the interview. I just wanted to ask, is there anything else you'd like to add before concluding?
Just if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, mushrooms are gross or this and that, or even if you don't think that way, I just recommend and encourage you to give them a chance. A lot of people think of portobello mushrooms, putting mushrooms on pizza or pasta or whatever, and that's the limitation, but it's actually its own kingdom. It's not part of plants. It's not part of animals. Fungi are their own kingdom, and there's incredible diversity, estimated to be 6 times more diversity than the plants. So that just means there are many kinds of ones. So next time when you want, for example, even culinary mushrooms, just seek something else than just the portobello mushroom. So maybe chicken of the woods that kind of weirdly tastes like chicken, or some other. I like maitake, or hen of the woods is one of my favorites, and try different flavors. And there's also amazing health benefits to them. But I think explore that section of the grocery store next time you're in some awesome natural product store.
Well, it was great meeting you, Taro, and thanks so much for taking the time to have this enlightening conversation on mushrooms.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.